Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to be able to come into your place, into your holy of holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's a privilege also to meet with your people here this morning. But most of all, Lord, we thank you that you meet with us, that you draw near to us as you draw us near to you. And it's by your grace that you do so. Because of your own purposes, for your own glory, you save us, real sinners. People that do not deserve your goodness, who deserve none of your pleasures, none of your blessings, and yet you give us everything in Christ. How is this, Lord? We would ask them that as we sing, that you would sanctify our thoughts and our praises and our prayers, that you would accept us in the Beloved One, that as we eat and drink, that you would minister to our souls, turning us to Christ, we pray. May you glorify yourself in us right now. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. In just a little bit, I'll ask you if you have favorite hymns that are Christ-centered that you want us to rejoice in and sing together. And we can do that in a little bit. But first, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Sharing with the Sunday school how the ways of God are such good ways. Every time He gives us a commandment, we seem to have an expression of His love for us. It's like He's saying, this is a way that you should go, and in going this way you will find happiness, peace, joy, and all the good things of the Holy Spirit. That's what this table is all about. He tells us to be here. We are here as His servants. And we are here and receive great and good things out of the Holy Spirit as He takes these things in His hand and applies them to our faith. Let's read the roots of this in the Scriptures, verse 17. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. It's very good to have the Lord's Supper when we are contemplating the things of being peacemakers as we are contemplating in Sunday school, to recognize that a big part of what we do here when we recount the gospel and the death of Christ lives out in our lives on a constant basis. What Christ displays for us here is a total selflessness, a complete dedication to the will of God and an expression of tremendous love for His people. That's to get played out in our relationships. We are to be people of love, people of truth, people of forgiveness and reconciliation. There is to be peacemaking that goes on among us. We are not to be self-centered people who have nothing but our own agenda in mind. So it is good that we come here under the Word of God to express the death of Christ and to remember His death in terms that the Apostle puts in front of us. Divisions and offenses are inevitable when it comes to the opportunity for them. But they are very avoidable when handled biblically. If we're here today, you're here as a disciple of Christ, as somebody who is in communion with the risen Lord through what He did on the cross. But you have a division between them, and there is a sinful relationship that is in your experience. It is important that we do what Jesus said. He said, leave your gift at the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and have that gift. And that goes across the boards. You know, wherever there is a sinful relationship. His principal point here is among the church, which is a sad thing that the church of Christ, which is meant to be the household of love and of goodwill, becomes sometimes a center of division and divisiveness. But if there's a sinful relationship in your marriage, same thing. You go be reconciled, then you come and take part of the Lord's Supper. If there's a sinful relationship with a neighbor, that is the same thing. We have duties before that neighbor. We are not to house any known sin, because we come here to remember that which frees us from sin and gives us a whole new direction to walk in. So the apostle warns us about one thing in specific, but he opens up a door to us. If you are not in communion with Christ, this becomes something of a sham, and this becomes a hypocrisy. The point is, make things right, and then come and eat and drink. Let's pick up in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And in simple statements like that, we have something of the essence of what we are doing here. Earlier, the chapter before, he called what we do here communion with the body, communion with the blood of Christ. And the point is that there is a bond of oneness and fellowship between us and the risen Lord, that we relate to him based on what we remember here. What we do as well, he calls proclaiming the Lord's death. That the essence and the meaning and the significance of what Jesus did is rehearsed here before us. We do this in a world that forgets the Lord's death, but we refuse to let that go away. We refuse to let it die. So we gather together as the people of God to proclaim not just the history, but the theology and the meaning of the Lord's death. And he says we do that until he comes. We profess our faith in the risen Lord, the returning Lord, the Lord who is coming to redeem his people. And when we remember the past, what we are doing is remembering that what he did in the past has secured eternity and the future, and that he will one day come and reign entirely over this creation in such an acknowledged way that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we look to the future as well as to the past. And so he adds, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we might not be condemned with the world. And you can see how the Lord fences off his table. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you. If you are in good standing with a Bible-believing church, we encourage you to join with us and eat and drink. We believe in the universal church of Jesus Christ and that there is a bond of fellowship between the churches. Children, we are very happy to have you here. You know the standards that we have presented here at this place, that there is a connection between baptism and the confession of Christ and being baptized into the body of Christ, and then the ongoing routine and ritual of eating and drinking as a church follows. We encourage you to pay very close attention to what goes on here. What is recounted here in picture form is the gospel. We've got the bread, which speaks of the body of Christ, the juice, which speaks of the cup of the blood of Christ, and we will take this in as an expression that we have received by faith the benefits of what we remember here. That's what we want you to do. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, this is the place to receive Christ. If you're here today and you are a Christian, this is the place to rededicate ourselves to what our conversion was all about. We have given our lives and taken into us, in terms of an act of faith, we have taken into us the realities of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are meant to reproduce these realities in our lives. With this bread, the Catholics say, we must be given. And there is truth to that. What we do is we recommit ourselves and rededicate ourselves to live the death of Christ in our lives, to make it known to the world that we are dead to our sins, that we are dead to self, that we are alive unto God, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of grace. So this is a very, very important place for us to be. And it's good that we can be here together. every one of us, when we come to this place and stand before the remembrances of the cross of Christ, we face in a fresh way our sinfulness and our unworthiness. It is good for us to know that this is designed for sinners, to strengthen our faith, to renew our hope in the gospel, and to make reconnections with Jesus Christ in a new and in a fresh and living way today. Let's go to Him in prayer. Let's commit this time to Him. Our Lord, we are grateful that in Your goodness You call us to eat and drink in Your presence. And You call us to this act of faith that quickens in us the hope of eternal life, that renews our remembrance of what our Christian life is all about. We ask that You would use this time to deepen our fellowship with You, that we would be more intimate and closer with You, that we would love You more than we have loved You to this point. We ask that You would renew within us the sense of forgiveness for our sins. For Lord, we confess that our sins are great. We have been too easily wrapped up with worldliness. We have left undone duties that You have called us to and have neglected what You have told us. Sometimes, Lord, we have lied. Sometimes we have coveted. Sometimes, Father, we have been disrespectful to the authorities above us. We confess that we are sinners in need of the saving power of the redemptive blood of Christ. And so we stand here as sinners, but we stand here believing with all of our hearts that our mediator avails for us in heaven, that we are in fact accepted in the Beloved One, that in point of truth, He ever lives to make intercession for us, and that He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him. We ask, Father, that You would renew all of these things in our love for Christ during this hour. Don't let us just come and go. Don't let us be formalists. But help these things that we have spoken about be real. Let us genuinely hold communion with the body and blood of our Lord. Let us genuinely remember His death and in faith proclaim His coming again. We thank You for this opportunity. We ask that You would make it effectual in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your hymnals, if you would, with me. One of the hymns that we've got in our hymnal with respect to the Lord's Supper reminds us of that third aspect. Number 426, that we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. 426.